Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Manjaro, June 1968. Of Worms and Maya. Prabhupada maintained his usual format of kirtan lecture kirtan during both morning and evening lectures in Montreal. He sang the Hare Krishna mantra each morning before his lecture. Sometimes he also chanted Govinda Jai Jai, Gopala Jai Jai, Radharamana Hari, Govinda Jai Jai. The devotees would dance to his sweet singing with their arms raised in the air. At the end of his lectures, he usually called for questions. I asked two questions on that visit to Montreal. The first was about worms and their particular characteristic of taking up two separate lives when cut in half. How is it possible that one living entity can become two? Prabhupada's answer was simple. A second spirit soul enters the cut-off part of the worm. The second question alluded to the philosophical fact that a spirit soul cannot avoid his constitutional position of service to Krishna. He either serves directly in the spiritual world or indirectly through Maya and the material world. I asked Prabhupada why we should bother endeavoring to serve Krishna if we are already serving him through his Maya energy. Prabhupada replied that serving Krishna directly of our own will brings the soul happiness, and that serving Krishna indirectly and unwillingly through his Maya brings only misery. My comment. Although I had previously read it, I did not remember that Prabhupada had already answered my question about direct and indirect service in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 38. Only the pure devotees can know the transcendental name, form, and activities of Lord Krishna due to their being completely freed from the reactions of fruitive work and mental speculation. The pure devotees have nothing to derive as personal profit from their unalloyed service to the Lord. They render incessant service to the Lord spontaneously without any reservation. Everyone within the creation of the Lord is rendering service to the Lord indirectly or directly. No one is an exception to this law of the Lord. Those who are rendering service indirectly, being forced by the illusory agent of the Lord, are rendering service unto him unfavorably. But those who are rendering service unto him directly under the direction of his beloved agents are rendering service unto him favorably. Such favorable servitors are devotees of the Lord, and by the grace of the Lord they can enter into the mysterious region of transcendence by the mercy of the Lord. But the mental speculators remain in darkness all the time. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself guides the pure devotee towards the path of realization due to their constant engagement in the loving service of the Lord in spontaneous affection. That is the secret of entering into the kingdom of God. Continuing my comment. Neither of my questions were very philosophical, penetrating, or practical. There was simply the doubts of a struggling conditioned soul whose intelligence was grappling with apparent philosophical contradictions caused by his birth and education in Western culture. Prabhupada answered both questions to my satisfaction. Humility. Once, as Prabhupada sat on his vyasasan after class, an Indian gentleman dressed in suit and coat stood before him. He asked Prabhupada what languages he knew. Prabhupada listed Hindi, Bengali, and English. Prabhupada, you also speak Sanskrit, I offered. Prabhupada looked at me and replied, no, I don't know Sanskrit. My comment. Prabhupada was a published author and scholar, but he was extremely humble about his accomplishments. Yet when required, he could be the proudest of warriors on behalf of his Guru Maharaj and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Back to Buffalo in a letter. Excuse me. I went back to Buffalo after a week in Montreal. Since I had given Prabhupada my return bus fare as Guru Dakshin, I had to hitchhike back. A few weeks after my return, I wrote Prabhupada a letter in which I asked over 20 questions. I wanted to know why Jesus said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" at the crucifixion. I wanted to know what a devotee should do if he misses Ekadasi. I asked whether the super soul was the same as the Holy Ghost of Catholicism, and whether we should fast totally on Ekadasi or eat from only grains. And I asked why we observed Ekadasi at all. He answered some of the questions in a two-page letter, which I subsequently lost. He complimented me on my intelligence and admonished the senior devotees for being unable to satisfy my inquiries. Prabhupada said that we observe Ekadasi because it is the 11th day of the moon. The proper observance of Ekadasi, he said, is to maximize chanting and reading. And he said, it is better to completely fast, but added that if that was too difficult, we should eat as little as was practical. He mentioned that there is no such thing as a holy ghost, all ghosts are unholy, and that Ekadasi should be observed on the following day if we accidentally miss it. The letter also contained some esoteric points, but I no longer remember their context. Prabhupada mentioned that rain falling on the head of a serpent during the Swati constellation would cause the appearance of a jewel on a serpent's head, and that the Sanskrit language is called Devanagari because Sanskrit is spoken by the demigods. Rupanuga accepted Prabhupada's admonition that senior devotees should be able to answer such questions as a personal reprimand. Yet he and everyone else were excited about Burijan's letter from Prabhupada, especially about the part concerning jewels on the head of snakes. As was the standard in those days, my letter was retyped and carbon copies were sent to each of the six other ISKCON centers. Hare Krishna, we'll end here. Hare Krishna.